Shavuot Ches Iyar Siman Pei, and we're holding in Pei Zayin, and we're going to Siman Pei Aleph Halacha Beis. So the kids are teaching us one of the most famous shaylas of Hashma Skol and Shabbos. You know that it makes noise of songs on Shabbos. That means using utensils, using even your limbs. The only exception is your mouth, meaning you're allowed to whistle. People always have these shaylas. You're allowed to whistle. The answer is you're allowed to whistle. However, interesting shaila, by the way, is whistling with your fingers in your mouth. That may be different than that. That perhaps is still okay. Meaning to say, what does it mean when it means making with your limbs? That means you're clapping, you're snapping. All these different things are coined to halacha, meaning kitzur shulchan aruch, based on the Mishnah Maseches Beis, based on the Rishonim, Anachronim, and the Rabbah, and everything else. Lechatchila, one should avoid these things. Now, we do all know that you go to different communities, they'll be clapping and dancing on Shabbos. So there is what to rely on. And the reason is really based on Tesis. Tesis says, the whole concern, what's this whole, we always have to know, is Anissa Darbanan, Anissa Daraisa. The answer is Anissa Darbanan. There's a concern, Shemi Isak and Klisha, you might put together a musical instrument. Is that amazing? In the old days, if you start singing, you would be inclined to build and put together some musical instrument. So therefore, because of that concern, that's Makabe Patrish, of course, that would be a Nisar D'Oraisa. So therefore, they made all these different precautions and fences. Now, the exceptions, of course, the exceptions. I mentioned already La Halacha, that since today, Tosfos says that we're not so experts in putting together musical instruments, so that's why there's much more room to be lenient. And that's the reason why you don't have to be moich and put this. If you see, I don't want to say chassidim, it's not just by chassidim, it could be Litvaks and everyone else today, and Kiruv, and all the different reasonings. There's actually, I once heard a thing from Rebbe, he was Meiko and Ben Hashmashas. That means Friday night Ben Hashmashas, because it's not fully night. There's all the different leniencies. At the end of the day, I think that if someone is scrupulous and actually a Rishon Maimon, he wants to be careful, and there's no reason, there's no specific reason why he has to be dancing or clapping. So it's good, or at least to do it b'shinui, which we'll explain in a moment. Lamaisa, the kids even makes exceptions that he says that lichkova da Torah, you're allowed to clap and dance, and that's the reason why v'simchas Torah we do so. And it could be that maybe the cover the Torah doesn't specifically say simchas Torah, so it could be anytime there's an honor of Torah or there's a specific tzorich mitzvah, there's a little bit more room to be lenient, like as we mentioned. Also, someone's doing it in the roof of the baby not to cry. We do not protest. Why? Because of those that are matirim. So here you see all these different exceptions. Another exception is if it's a voice, a sound that you're making, not in a musical way. You know, sometimes today you have all these different chazanim that they're banging on the bima, and they're doing it in a very, let's call it the karbachi style. So it's best not to do so. But if it's something that a person assesses that he needs, and that's what I meant, that it's a real question of Yiras Shamayim. And many times it's just that simple people don't know anymore. Not often do they learn enough halacha. So that's why it's so beautiful that we learn this halacha. In any case, the Kitzur teaches us that if you're banging on the door in order to knock, so that's not a problem, because that's not in a musical manner. However, there are these types of different bells or different, whatever they're called, like these knockers on the door. Right, that knock, and they're made for that. So some say better not to use these things. Some say it's not a problem because again, it's not the shir. Another example actually is what the kids discusses are these timepieces that are made to chime in certain specific hours by pulling on a certain string. So you shouldn't do this on Shabbos, even though again, maybe not you're not doing it for the specific and musical reasons. But nevertheless, the chatchila one should not do so. Another example is if someone is watching fruits or different seeds that were just, let's say, field that were just seeded, and you don't want the animals coming in. So you're not allowed to clap in a normal way, rather you should do it in a different way. See, here's a perfect example of where you're doing clapping or dancing, but you're doing it in an unusual way. Another halacha that's only a concern, exer, the rabbanan, that you might come to do something wrong, is an example of playing with walnuts. You used to play with walnuts on the floor. An example of the modern day interpretation that no one plays with one, it's that they have the chamesh avanim. I grew up with these, I don't know what's called in English, I think it's called kigalach. These are stones they used to play with. You know, yeah, all these interesting, fun stuff. So the halacha is that we're concerned that maybe if you do it in an area where it's not floored, so you might level off the floor. Now today, there's much more room to lean in because most people are never going to be playing on the floor itself, meaning where there's a concern of leveling off. Never, and especially here in this situation, we usually, it's women and kids that are playing it. So the kids are teaching us a major rule. If you know that it's something that's not the rice, not biblical, but rather it's rabbinical, and if you're going to start protesting, they're going to do it anyway, better not to tell them not to do it. Why? Because mutar v'shogeg v'adam v'zidim, a very famous rule, better that a person should not be considered amazed, not doing it intentionally. So this is, of course, requires a person to know. Now, you know, what the effect of his words are going to be. Another discussion is regarding folding clothing. What's the problem with folding clothing? Here too, there's a form of tikkun, a tikkun mane. Why is it tikkun mane? Because when you fold in the creases, it improves the clothing. And this is an interesting question. Does that apply to our clothing today or only in the old day clothing? I remember the Aruch HaShulchan discussed that based on the material that they would use, that's why when you would fold in the proper crevices or the creases, so it would really improve the clothing. Nevertheless, meaning is not to fold clothing in the specific creases, and rather to do it in the opposite way or not to fold. But like I said, there is room to be more lenient in this regard. When it comes to a garment that caught on fire, so halachically speaking, you're not allowed to pour out the fire directly. You should do it indirectly by doing it in grama. How do you do it? You wet an area closer to that where the fire has taken. Now, of course, all this is discussing with a situation where you're safe, no one's in danger. If there's a possibility of danger, pikuach nefesh overrides everything. Another interesting thing, the kid says, don't use water, use other liquids. Why is that? Because we already learned that when you pour water in a garment, even if it's clean, there could be a question of laundering. You're not allowed to make the bed on Shabbos in order to prepare it for Motzei Shabbos. So this is a very interesting concept, is that if, even though your intention is, I mean, the point is like this, you're not allowed to be making from Shabbos to Chol. However, the place can point out that if it's a situation where it's disturbing that the beds are not made, it looks disgusting, maybe especially if it's in the view of people's eyes, so there's more room to be lenient. Someone actually recently, Mom just said the Shiloh on Friday or Thursday, he asked me whether his wife could wear the dishes because the dishes, when they're done, is so much more beautiful. So here too, it all really depends on the situation. It's against the Shiloh, and we're starting Siman Pei Aleph, the four different domains of Shabbos. And there's four different categories. There's Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim. There's what's called a Kamalis, which is basically a word that's made of Rach and Mal, which means basically dry and moist, meaning it's not too dry, not too moist, which is talking about kernels, but with the idea is going to be here, it's a terminology that was used when it's not Rishus HaYochid, not Rishus HaRabim. It's a Kamalis, Rishus HaRabanan. And lastly, the fourth category is Mokum Tov, which we're going to discuss, a place where you're actually allowed to carry even midrabanan. So here we go. Rishus HaYochid. What's Rishus HaYochid? The first halacha is Rishus HaYochid is a place where it's at least 4 by 4 tefachim. So we discussed already many times already what a tefach is. Tefach is around 3 inches, so that's around 12 inches by 12 inches. So the halacha would be that if it's 12 inches by 12 inches and you have a mechitza, the walls are up 10 tefachim high, so that's around 30 inches, 31 inches to around 30. By the way, it's interesting to note, well, Moshe is around 35 inches, the Chaznish is around 38 inches. Usually they quote him as 40 inches, but really it's, so if you have 31 inches, you're ready, according to B'chaim Noe, and that's really, at the end of the day, the way we pass. And it's nice if you go according to Ramesh and according to Chaznish. This is Nogel Sotirchas Sukkah. In any case, it doesn't have to be a structure that's going above ground. It can be also in ground. That means to say, if you have a hole that's 10 tefachim deep, and it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim wide, it's also considered Shusay Yachid. This is also true when it comes to a barrel. That means if you would round off, here you have to get a little bit, use your geometry that you learned to be able to round off 4 by 4 within the circle. So the circle has to be a certain that's a tool based on the idea that, you know, that the diameter is going to be much longer than, it's called Amta, is used. So the diameter of that is going to be an Amma and 2/5. It's a famous Gemara in Maseches Sukkah. Now, interesting that when it comes to Rishus HaYachid, the Avir, the air of Rishus HaYachid, goes on all the way until the Rakia. It means it never stops. This is in contrast to what we're going to learn about the Rishus HaRabim, which we're going to discuss tomorrow.